Hey, Jordy, do you want to hear a joke?
Yeah, sure, Joey.
What do you?
Come on, spit it out,
What do you get when you mix a society that's been basing more of its value of information on an increasingly more lowbrow and accessible medium, rising tensions between the two sides of the political spectrum, a bunch of racists, and the fact that Twitter's blowing up. What do you? Oh yeah, and the fact that a very important government building was designed by someone who probably worked on the level design in Uncharted 2. What do you get?
The assault of our democracy and the assault of the Capitol.
No, you get the Last Airbender movie, but hot take. No, you get a bunch of racists trying to invade the Capitol for some reason.
Yeah,
Yay.
okay, so they were right to go into the Capitol, right?
Jordy is racist again? Reggie?
Jordy is racist too.
Nah. Actually, wait, is my cereal eating loud? I can't. Is it like Is it? I'm eating Crispix, so it's called. It's crunchy. It's crispy. So it.
Crispix?
Wait, you don't know Crispix? Is this like
I
a?
don't think we have those in America.
Oh, it's not. Oh yeah. It might just. No, yeah. I think it's just Canadian because I didn't see it in Jay Schlatt's cereal tier list review. It's just like freaking. It's just more. It's just like a wheat cereal. But like honestly, like. In a cereal I look for, I don't really like the sugary cereals just because like I like if I'm gonna eat something that's unhealthy, I'd rather eat like something that's like really unhealthy rather than just get like crappy Oreo O's. Like I'd rather just eat Oreos then, you know?
That's honestly very true. I feel like that's the thing with cereal. It's just like, honestly, like there is, I feel like cereal is just one of those, like, if it's not obviously just like a straight wheat cereal like you're eating right now or something like that, I feel like it's one of those foods that's just like been ingrained in our minds from marketing that it's a breakfast food.
I think like a part of the appeal though was like when you're a kid was that like, oh, it's a cereal, so you're like allowed to eat it for breakfast, and then you could like figure out a way to like really just turn it
Control
into candy, you know, like Reese's.
it. Yeah. Well, I did not get that chance because my house pretty much never had cereal.
Oh yeah, and you had the ban on chocolate milk for like your entire childhood, eh?
It wasn't. I mean, it wasn't even like it's a. I mean, it kind of was a ban. It's just like my dad was super like anti-sugar stuff, and he was like, it was there was not like other than like ice cream and like the occasional like baking of cookies or something. It's like there wasn't a lot of sugar-based stuff in the house.
I mean, yeah, that's like perfectly valid if you like live in America just because of like it's not even like the fact that like people are like fat in America or whatever. I'm not like saying that, but it's just like the way like legislation is set up, there's just so much more sugar in like everything else and like places where it doesn't need to be. Like it'll be like in ketchup or something, it'll be like twice, like it'll just be like there's just like hidden sugar everywhere in America. And it's just so much like I do genuinely feel bad if you do live in America because it's just so much harder to like just eat healthy. Like bit mad respect, bro, for not turning into a sphere, gotta
I
say.
mean, yeah, I mean, I'm so appreciative. Like, I mean, obviously, when I was a kid, I was like, why can't we get chocolate milk? But I'm legitimately like so appreciative that like he tried to like monitor us with that. It just ended up being super helpful for just health sh shit.
You know, there's a phenomenon we like to joke about among my friends. We call it the Florida effect. A lot of us have like grandparents and stuff that like I know like live in Ontario in the winter and then like go to Florida for the. I know they'll like live in Florida in the winter. Sorry. So like
Oh.
basically everyone I know goes to Florida like once or twice a year. But we call it the Florida effect because if you were to like graph out the effort we put into being healthy, it would be like a cosine graph because it's like every time we go to Florida, it is always like the most poignant reminder of like why you need to eat healthy because you just see these absolute like you know, freaking grease slobs in Florida, freaking everywhere, and you just don't see that here that often. So,
dude, it's so crazy. So since just like because of like Corona right now, my family's been using this app called Instacart just to like get our groceries.
We have that here. Yeah.
Yeah. And we ended up getting the wrong one time, and it's like, it was a weird order. Like it was like sticky Japanese rice, like microwavable ones, like dumplings, microwavable dumplings.
That's
like
sad.
A huge bag of wontons and this insanely large bag of, what's that really popular chocolate brand? Not Hershey's, like the
Dairy
Milk? The bougie one.
Oh, Lindt? Guitar?
No, I don't know. No, I don't think it was any of those. It doesn't matter, though. It was just an insanely large bag, and I was like, who the fuck orders this?
Yo, that sounds like it's a San Francisco bachelor programmer for Apple or something. Just, like, living by himself in his, like, ridiculously expensive apartment with his tentacle porn and whatnot and his chocolate.
This is all I need.
Yeah. Oh, well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, let's transition to the main podcast. Woo.
It's so funny that we don't actually do like intros for the show.
Yeah, I
just get straight into it.
Yeah. All right. Normally when I like listen to like a normal podcast, it'll be like, today I have blah blah blah. What are your thoughts on blah blah blah? Whereas here in this podcast it's just like, let's talk about cereal, and then all right, the podcast has started already, so
let's talk about cereal and then Syria.
Oh, ISIS be like.
Okay, what do you think is ISIS's favorite cereal?
Oh, John ISIS. That's quite the interesting man. My bet is he probably likes the Blood of Israeli cereal.
That doesn't make sense, though, because then wouldn't that be the base?
Oh, yeah, he would probably pour Israeli blood into, like, his cornflakes or something.
Yeah, and the cornflakes, just because of the density of the blood, just get absolutely soaked.
Yeah, it's like, I love John Green. Do you know the author of The Fault in Our Stars? He also has a channel called Vlogbrothers. He explained how, to him, he eats...
He wrote Fault in Our Stars?
Yeah, you didn't know that? Yeah, he
wrote... I did not know that.
Yeah, he also wrote Paper Towns, which was also turned into a movie, Looking for Alaska, turned into a Hulu series. Anyways, his favorite cereal is Raisin Bran, and to him, he eats it with water instead of milk because he thinks it tastes like milkshakes when you pour milk in it.
Oh my god.
It's a pain. He did a whole video defending himself, and it is the most painful experience to see him pour water into Raisin Bran.
Like a cursed image. It's so good.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And he also decided to like test out other drinks with it. So he did Powerade, orange juice, coffee, and tea.
Coffee might not be that bad.
Yeah, I'm a coffee addict, so like I think I would just do it for the coffee rather than the Crispix or whatever. But like, ew, god, freaking Powerade, that's gross. Like, that's more gross than water.
Well, you know, Joey, all I'm saying, don't knock until you try it. You know, like, sometimes you might not like something, and then, you know, like, you might just eat it for breakfast every day, so.
Okay. Yeah, kind of like putting little bits of shrimp tails into a water bottle and filling it with water and drinking it.
Drink it. Come on, dude, I did not drink it.
Shush. I know you drank that shrimp tea. I know you did.
I did not. I swear to God, I did not. Dude, the funniest thing about that is that, actually, no, this is probably shouldn't talk about this. This is too much of an inside story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is kind of inside. All right, whatever. Let's talk in a general. Yeah, let's quit making so many ISIS jokes, Jordy. Come on, get out of here.
Jesus. Oh, in bad taste.
Yeah, it's okay. We the Nintendo 3DS Sound podcast officially endorses
ISIS.
Yeah, sponsored by ISIS.
watch 4K beheading videos.
Oh God. Allahu Akbar.
Now that was edgy. Oh my God.
Allahu Akbar. Am I right, Jordy?
Ooh, let's go.
All right. Let's end the bad taste and stuff here. Let's talk about.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's talk about what everyone's here for. My mailbox at my house has now been thoroughly stuffed, like at the opening of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. There's just so many letters anymore, it's ridiculous. I've been getting numerous fan requests to talk about Avatar, The Last Airbender. So Jordy, remember, I personally, for context, I have not finished the series yet. But
what part are you on?
Yeah.
Like, what has happened?
Yeah, so I am... I just finished the episode where Zuko and Katara go to visit the soldier that killed Katara's mom. Mm-hmm. So I'm almost at the end.
Yeah, you were very close, Jesus.
Very close, yeah. But I swear to God, Jordy, I swear to God, I take my language very seriously around here. I try not to swear. If you spoil the ending for the series, I will fucking kill you, okay?
Naka does a kickflip.
Oh, yeah,
fucked.
No! No, it's okay. But seriously.
He goes, hey, watch this! And then he falls flat on his...
Okay. I mean, Sokka's a really funny character. I love Sokka. Anyways... Wait, before we get into talking about the show, context for listeners. I started watching in September, and I've been enjoying the show so much that, like, I've managed to ration it. Like, now...
I just want to say, Joey, that's something I can respect.
Yeah, honestly, like, my conditions for watching the show was that, like, I can only watch it on weekends, in the mornings, when I just have, like, our main TV to myself. And I can't watch more than 3 episodes in a day, but I try to, like, just watch only 1 or 2. And sometimes I only do that on weekends, and only on 1 day of the weekend I try to. So because of that, I've managed to stretch the entire series out, and I'm just about to finish. And honestly, it has been such an enjoyable experience. It has legitimately made my year better. My school year, granted. Like, it's just been, it's really, if anything, it's kind of shown me, like, the power of just, like, savoring, like, an artistic experience, because it's been like an ongoing plot for me to focus on the mayor, and the show itself is credible.
I know, man.
So how about you, like, give your thoughts? Yeah, like, why do you like Avatar?
Okay, well, yeah, honestly, like, I pretty much from like the start of June until like probably the end of June, like, it took me about a month to finish up or sometime around that. I was just, like, watching it and shit. That was, like, June is probably one of my favorite months of the year, like, because a lot of stuff was happening then. It was just, like, really enjoyable, and that was definitely a big part of it, and, yeah, I absolutely loved it. Like, it's just, it is such, like, a refined and polished animated show, and I just think, like, it's such, like, even now, like, this was, like, one of the shows that, like, were, it was, like, one of the first, it, like, carried the torch for a lot of animated shows now.
Yeah.
And even now, it still, it has so many original concepts in it.
Actually,
it's just incredible.
Actually, the world itself and, like, the blend of, like, Inuit, Chinese, Japanese, like, Indo cultures together to create, like, a world of, like, this unique kind of magic bending type of thing. That was, like, really unique. But, like, the core appeal of the show, I believe, is just, and, like, it's, like, it's simple plot, complex characters with, like, deep appeals that you can, like, really understand their intentions behind everything. Like, there's no ambiguity as to why a character would do something. But I think the beats themselves are sourced from a lot of very familiar places, but, like, those places themselves are really beloved. Like, the one source I couldn't get my... Like, the one thing that other popular franchise couldn't get out of my head when watching Avatar that I was always thinking about because I was always reminded about was Star Wars. There's a lot of Star Wars in Avatar. Just like the...
I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like...
yeah. The remark, the whole thing with, like, the Avatar Aang being... he's like Luke. He's like the desk... he's like the last Jedi alive after the remastering.
Yeah.
And there was also one scene... I don't know why. It just felt super Star Wars-y. It was in the beginning of Season 3, right before they're preparing to, like, invade the Fire Nation. There's, like, the part where, like, all the characters they've, like, met over their adventures come and say, like, oh, hello, we're joining you on your, like, battle. That felt very Star Wars-y, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I just, like, I feel like with, like, yeah, talking about the inspirations from Star Wars, I feel like it's honestly, I think it's fine, in my opinion, just because of how, like, important Star Wars was
not just
blockbusters, but just like cinema and like creating stories and storytelling as a whole.
No, I think it's fine, man. I just think it's like it's actually pretty derivative, but I still love it, man. Because Star Wars is a great thing to take inspiration from, and Star Wars itself is incredibly derivative too.
Yeah, and what you were talking about before with the simple plot, complex characters, that's something that I noticed a lot with more recent like especially like Cartoon Network shows and just like recent animations that have come out.
Yeah,
it's like that is it's just such a good formula to like give character studies and shit.
The influence is huge for Avatar. They also, it has a really good blend of talking about complex, characters and, like, simple stories, but it also has, like, a really good way of balancing complex and sad ideas with lighthearted, beats. Like, Christ, I mean, the Hundred Years' War is a really devastating thing, and I really love that it's not, the Fire Nation isn't a mystical thing. There's not some like overseeing magical enemy or something. It's literally they're just a country that's brought so much destruction and hatred into this world, and so much suffering. So you really get to like witness and like see some of the tragedy of like humans themselves through like the Fire Nation being like the foil for like the Nazis or something. And at the same time, there's also like really compelling, happy things that like kids can enjoy. It's like a structure that like pave the way for something like Christ. I don't know. I don't want to make this comparison, but like something like Gravity Falls did something like that where it balanced like really lighthearted, day-to-day, immediate, happy stories with like a more dark narrative running through the whole thing, right?
Yeah. I definitely think Avatar was the turning point for like mature cartoons. I mean not mature cartoons, but just like how do I say it? Just like cartoons that everyone can get something out of.
Yeah. Yeah, I can agree with that.
That or SpongeBob. I think those are the two.
I don't really care for SpongeBob.
I know. I think like SpongeBob is more just in terms of its comedy.
Yeah. I think it's kind of, it's kind of overrated, but anyways.
Mid.
Yeah. Who are your favorite characters?
Like I was talking about this with a friend a couple of days ago. Like I don't. The thing about like Avatar is that like the main crew is so small that it's like it's like I mean I guess I guess probably fuck you go first. I need to think about this for a second.
Yeah, I'm gonna sound weird, but. These choices might not sound. I would go with. I'm gonna sound pretty normie here. My favorite characters are Iroh, Suki, and Zuko.
I don't know. I kind of wish Suki got a bit more like, because I feel like she only really has a lot of development in like two episodes.
Yeah.
And the first episode she ever shows up in, and like the other one that where like she makes like a return.
Yeah, and the Boiling Rock. Yeah.
Mm.
I think, I can admit. I think when you watch a show, if you get that show recommended to you by someone else, whenever I watch a show that's recommended to me by someone else, I can't get the. I always interpret the show as, oh, I'm not really watching the show. I'm watching this show that someone else just watched. Like, I can't really get that framing of the other person out of my own experience. And that's had, like, a positive and a very negative impact on how I view shows. Just because of, like, for example, like, I think it might have ruined The Office for me just because, like, a lot of people I, like, don't like at my own school are, like, really into The Office, and it really might have killed the show for myself. Show I always interpret as the person who recommended the show to me, and that had like an impact on how I connected with the characters in the show. And for some reason I saw a lot of that person in Suki, maybe because of their character design or because of their interpersonal relationships, but I think as a residual result I couldn't get that out of my head, and that definitely changed how I saw them as a character. But I also saw a lot of like Katara and them too, just as a result. But but I freaking loved Iroh and Zuko as well. I mean, like,
of course,
Iroh is so like, oh my! I laughed so hard when you know how he's like training in the jail, and then he like finally gets ripped, and you see like that big reveal. That made me laugh so hard when I saw that.
Dude, that part where He uses the dragon breath. That was so sick. Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah.
I've just been trying to think about it. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I do really like Aang. Like, I think Aang and Azula are the two characters that I really like, not in terms of like their overall personality, but in terms of just like their actual character and like the context of the story. Yeah. Because I think both of they have some of the deepest characters, like in the entire show.
They get the most depth. Yeah.
Yeah, they get a lot of fucking depth. Because I think it's so awesome that like the entire show, Aang goes without killing anyone. Yeah. And even against like the final boss, he's like, no, I'm gonna find another way.
Yeah. That was spoilers, but. It's okay.
Shit, I'm sorry. Oh no, fuck, I'm sorry.
Yeah, don't worry, I'll be sending you the death pill in the mail. I'll FedEx it to you. Just take it quickly and Snapchat video call me while you die, just so I get the opportunity. But yeah, I think personally I really liked you really got to see the struggle in Aang of him. Like, it reminded me of like Spider-Man in him in Homecoming versus Far From Home. Because in Homecoming, it's all about him being a kid that wants to be adult. And then Far From Home, he's like an adult that wants to be a kid again. With Aang, it's like, you can see there's like a lot of inner drive and passion to be the Avatar. But you also see in a lot of episodes that really does weigh down on him. Because it really hurts the people he loves.
It's like, no, fuck you. I want to go penguin sledding.
Yeah, I want to go penguin sledding. Or I love the episode when he goes to school. I love that one.
Oh
so
my god, that shit's so good.
Yeah, and I love how he's just so terrible against like the bully, and they're all just like stereotypical like school characters. Oh man, I love that episode so much.
Yeah, no, it's great. And then also just like Azula, it's crazy just like how, if you think about it, just like how sad her character is, just like especially you wouldn't have known about that.
I don't truly know how tragic. I definitely have not seen.
Okay, I'm not going to talk about it then, because I feel like I'm just going to end up spoiling it.
Yeah, thank you for that. But I do have one thing to say about Azula though, and her development. This episode, if you don't know, is, I also like to call it the Missed Opportunity podcast, because whenever I criticize content, we generally say there's always a missed opportunity. I don't know, have you noticed that, Jordy? But
that's actually pretty true.
Yeah, I know. But there was one episode that was like, I think it was the worst in the series that I've seen so far. It was a huge missed opportunity. It was the episode where Mei, Ty Lee, Zuko, and Azula went on like that vacation island, and they like they like went to the party and stuff, and they went to like the beach. Do you remember that episode, Jordy?
Yeah, I do remember that. I do remember that.
Yeah, that episode was so fumbled. Holy cat! Like that I think that is probably that would have made a lot better because that episode absolutely needed to be there because you need to like because up to that point, Ty Lee and May mostly were like 2D characters that didn't. You, like, saw these characters, like, the Avatar gang fight a lot, but you didn't really understand why they were doing it, how, like, they got in that situation and stuff, and, like, what they struggled with, and how they fought with, like, Zuko and Azula. And there's, like, the moment where they, like, sit around the fireplace, and I swear it was so poorly written. It was the worst written scene. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
They're all...
Yeah, it's crazy, because, like, yeah. Wasn't the wording just, like... let's all talk about our problems. Yeah. And it's like, everyone just like, around. And it was so surprising for me while I was watching that episode.
Yeah.
Like this is not the level of quality I expected.
Here's my crappy background character exposition. No, yours is worse. No, I'm worse. Here's my crappy character exposition. And I literally like that scene was supposed to be super emotional. But I swear, I was, like, laughing to tears when Ty Lee did a thing about being a circus girl and how that was, like, traumatic so she could be unique. Oh, my God. That was, like jeez. That was an abysmal scene. And it really fumbled the opportunity, I think, to, like, also make when Zuko had to, like, leave May, like, leave her behind. That it would have made that like betrayal and that sacrifice Zuko chose to make a lot more impactful because like really that was like that element of Zuko leaving Fire Nation being a traitor could have been developed a lot better because he didn't really have a life to live there besides Mei because like Azula didn't like him. Sure, he was like just about getting close to like the generals and his dad and stuff, but that wasn't really developed well. And so, like, that relationship between him and May was, like, the only thing that really connected them there. And that self wasn't really giving much emotion behind it. So it didn't really feel like a really good betrayal. And that was a huge missed opportunity. But, I don't know, how about Azula? Sorry, try to be as non-specific as possible.
God. Okay.
Yeah, how is
well,
Azula's
I just think...
arc? Without...
I just think it's so interesting how, like... It's presented, like, earlier on in Season 2, how, like, you know that she was an absolute prodigy. And I think it probably somewhat goes into it, like, in Season 3. But, like, you get to see just, like, how much that weighs on her. And it's, like, that's... And, I like, how that changed her relationship. Nope, I'm not going to go any further.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, the only thing...
It's very interesting, though. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, the only thing I can think about with, like, Azula's arc is that, like, she's, like, I just, from what I understand, she's probably a better firebender than Zuko, but since Zuko is, like, the heir and he's male, he would be, like, assumed to be better than her, and I think that kind of, that just, like, a little element of fighting gender expectations is always just, like, a good kind of character arc for someone, like, a character like Azula.
God. Dude, I was just thinking about... Okay, one of my favorite characters might be Sokka, because I love that episode where he gets his sword, and you fucking, at the end of the episode where he finally gets it from his teacher, he's just like, what does the teacher even say? He's just like, yeah, you fight in your own unique way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That could have been, that was kind of like, it reminded me of like, this is going to be such a specific reference, holy cow. There was an episode of Good Luck Charlie where...
I don't know what that show is.
Wait, you don't know Good... Okay, it was a really crappy Disney family show. But basically, it's a story about, like, freaking kids. Like, just, like, a family of kids. And it's, like, the gimmick was that it was, like, a lot of kids. It was, like, 5 kids. And there was, like, a girl named Charlie that was, like, a baby and a newborn. But anyways, the dad named Bob owns an exterminating company. And basically what Bob did was in an episode, one of the coworkers at his exterminator company greets his other daughter. And he's like, oh, you're blah, blah, blah. You're the one who does well in school. And then he like looks at the other kid and he's like, oh, you're the one that's funny. And then he looks at the oldest son and he says, oh, Bob says you're nice. And then the whole conflict of the episode is that, what's the, I can't even remember, PJ, that's the old kid's name. The whole conflict of the episode is that he goes to his dad and he's like, why the hell you just call me nice? And then, like, PJ just, like, learns the whole value of, like, what being nice means. And then, like, Bob also learns to appreciate PJ. But anyways, it, like, at the end of the episode, PJ is, like, oh, by the way, PJ is, like, stupid. He's also, he's pretty stupid. PJ, like, learns to, like, recognize, like, oh, nice is great, and I'm my own person. And that, the freaking Sokka, you fight in your own way episode gave me, like, big PJ from Good Luck Charlie vibes. Sorry for that really long-winded reference.
Dude, that is such a funny joke. He's like, Bob tells me you're nice.
It's savage, bro. It's ice, my guy. Ice.
Great ice. Speaking of... actually, no, I don't want to... Let's not go into drip check yet.
Yeah.
We got to keep on talking about Avatar.
Yeah, I still have more to say. What do you think about Iroh?
I think it's pretty cool, like, his character. I don't even think it's really a character transformation. I just think it's, like, I think it's great just, like, how much of just, like, comic relief he is in the first season. But you can kind of see that there's, they're building, a bit of a relationship.
Yeah.
And then season two, you get to see, like, a lot of their chemistry when Zuko's just, like, learning from him and shit.
And Boss and stuff, yeah.
And then season three, you get that, like, low point in their relationship where, like, they both, like, they want to, like, make up with each other again. It's just, like, and I'm not going to say anything else.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you, though. Sorry, I've not seen the ending. So, at this point, Iroh and Zuko have not seen each other again, and currently Iroh has broken out of prison, but we haven't seen him yet. I'd actually consider it to be like a soft high point, but like a tragic high point in that they can't be with each other. But this is like the point where like Zuko is finally like really understood his lessons. And like he's actually like on the same wavelength and he's a pacifist. And I think that transformation for Zuko is probably the best character development of the whole series, because not only is it just really satisfying to see these really engaging, well thought out characters, but also in how it ties into its greater discussion of like war. Just like the fact that like when you have like a war story like this, you can think of like each one of the nations has its like own parallels. And like, for example, the European theater in World War II, I would think of the Earth Kingdom as like the Soviet Union, because like you've seen Bao Sing say it has like its own cracks and corruption, Fire Nation, Nazis. I'd say like the airbender is probably like the French. And then, like, you could say, like, the waterbenders are, like, the Brits or Americans or whatever. When you have, like, a war arc like that, you need to show that the construct of war is not something it's created by borders, but borders aren't really a human thing. Like, they're different constructs, right? And that there's always good and bad humanity on both sides, and those borders are incredibly artificial, and like you need a good German, right? So like having Iroh, someone who had this really strong connection to like the Fire Nation, and then who gave it all up because of his morals and because of his humanity, that has great parallels for like talking about war or something. And I think just something like having a character like Iroh like that is a great lesson for if we're talking about this as like a kids show. Has great lessons and parallels for children, right?
That's honestly something that I think is very glossed over when people talk about Iroh, because it's like, oh, he's funny and leaves from the vine.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that is a super interesting aspect.
What do you think about, like, the world? That's something, like, fans on, like, Reddit are really into and stuff, but, like, the universe, do you think it's, like...
I don't know, like, honestly, I feel like in that world, I could not see myself, like, being invested in it without, like, a cast of characters. Like, it's not, for me, it's not like something with Star Wars, where it's, like, there's just so much richness to it. It just feels like you can look around every corner, and it's, like, there's so just, like, there's, it's so dense. Like, I still think it's incredibly well done, but, like, I don't know. It's just, it's definitely just one of those universes where it's, like, if, like, I wouldn't really go much deeper than, like, a group of characters, like, experiencing the world with me.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, like, the drawings of the worlds themselves are great, and the characters are all lovable and are interesting. But, yeah, it doesn't have, like, the same appeal of, like, the Star Wars prequels, where I can watch something like The Phantom Menace, which is a terrible movie, but still be totally invested just because I find the world so interesting. This is why I have my own reservations about, like, watching Legend of Korra or something, just because, like, that's a whole new cast of characters. I don't actually really know too much about Korra, but, like,
I can talk about it a bit after you make this point.
Yeah. That's why I'm just, like, worried about watching Korra, because it's, like, I'm not inherently that interested in the world, and, like, the fact that it's a whole new cast of characters, and that it's also, like, 7 years in the future, and that they've started to, like, industrialize. So it's not, it doesn't actually have that sense of familiarity between, like, the old, Avatar show. It means, like, yeah, like, I'm really, it's not as concretely tied to it as before, and I don't feel incentivized to watch it as much. I don't know, is Korra good?
Well, okay, so the thing is, I've seen the first season, which I thought was actually pretty interesting, and I haven't finished the second season. And most people believe, and most people, including me, think that the second season is the worst one. It is awful. It is absolutely horrendous.
Really?
Yeah. I thought the first season was really interesting, though, because it, like, I'll only go, like, surface level on this if you do want to watch it, but mm-hmm. it kind of, it delves into, like, the idea of benders versus non-benders, and, like, how that relationship is kind of played, just, like, in this world. And I think it's pretty cool, because that's one of the questions, like, whenever I was watching Avatar, it's like, how do the non-benders fit into all this?
I actually know more than, like, a little bit about Korra. I've just, like, read the fandom on it and stuff. And, like, read a bit about it on Reddit. From, like, what I understand, I know two things. One, that it's industrial. Sorry, I know multiple things. Sorry. I'm not going to give myself a set number because I'm probably going to remember more stuff. But, yeah, like, why do people do that? Now I'm thinking about, like, people are like, oh, I have three things. And then they're like, they proceed to list, like, seven things. It's like, oh, it's such a stupid convention in language. Anyways, I know it's, like, industrialized, but from what I've heard, there's one episode in season two that's supposed to be the best in, like, the whole series. And it's about, like, the history of all the avatars. Like I heard that.
I think I've seen that episode.
Yeah, apparently fans go crazy for that episode, and they, like, think it's the best episode in the series.
It has a really cool animation style. Like, they kind of switched the animation style for a bit, and it's kind of sick.
Oh, so wait. So they pulled a Deathly Hallows Part 1 and got a different art studio to do one scene just to show. And
dude, that shit was fire.
Oh, no, that was fire.
Oh, my God, I remember that.
That was...
Oh, my God.
But that was such a crutch, though. They knew what they were doing. They knew that movie sucked, but they can make one good scene with, like, a different art studio. Come on.
Like, it's the worst.
No, it's better than Chamber of Secrets. Dude, Chamber of Secrets is trash, and it's probably also better than Order of the Phoenix, but we're getting sidetracked here.
yeah.
But I know...
The Harry Potter podcast.
Alakadabra. Sorry, I've read the entire series 8 times. I'm not a noob on Harry
Jesus.
Potter. Yeah, I know.
I haven't read it once.
What? Okay, sorry.
Okay, no, we're getting too sidetracked.
Yeah. I know it's in just... Oh, wait, how many things? Wait, no, I gave myself no number of things. Wait, this is now... Okay, now I understand why people get... Oh, wait. I said there's one good episode. It's industrialized. Oh, God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll talk a bit, like, just about, like, the industrial thing. Honestly, I think the industrialization thing makes sense in the universe.
I hate that idea. Like, I don't want it, like, to be industrialized.
I understand where you're coming from on that. Like, but I think the I think they were kind of getting at a cool idea and shit, just like, oh, there's like gangs now, and there's like Bender mafias, which I think is kind of sick, honestly.
Oh my god, cool. That's ridiculous.
I kind of liked it, honestly.
Hey buddy, when little Johnny over there will give you the good stuff.
Hey buddy, I'ma kick your ass back to Ba Sing Se.
Give him a Ba Sing Se vacation, if you know what I mean.
Waterbend him with the fishes.
Yeah,
that doesn't even make sense.
That's okay. But I hate the idea though, just because like there was the whole element in Avatar was that like the Fire Nation was clearly more industrialized because they had like steel boats and stuff, and they were kind of at that like. Like, I like to think if you were to, like, play some in time, they would be kind of, like, at the tech, like, the U.S. Army had in, like, the Civil War, maybe. But I hate the idea that it's industrialized because I love this notion of, like, a nomadic world that's constantly kind of under warfare that can't really, because of its technology, exist in a peaceful state.
And that's why the Fire Nation was so interesting, because, like, they had... like a form of this technology that they were using to dominate.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, I mean, maybe it's more of like an outcome of the fact that like, maybe they're trying to tell the story that like, again, I haven't seen the ending, but I presume there's some kind of peace after Avatar that I might just be shooting the dark here. Who knows? But
no, everyone fucking dies.
Oh no. It's like Fallout 4 at the beginning. Anyways, but like maybe it's like they're trying to tell a story that like maybe the world being in constant warfare has like it brings us down as a human race and prevents us from innovating. So like, yeah, I mean that's also a good notion to, you know, suggest. But that's not, it's not really new, nor do I think it just pisses me off because it's like I want my ancient Chinese world. I want the world to Avatar I want to give myself hope that one day I'll accidentally be like, you know, washing the dishes and then I accidentally start waterbending. I want that feeling that it can happen and that's a different world where I can escape in rather than it being like Red Dead Redemption 2 plus firebenders. Like, I don't know. That's, that's weird, right?
It's even more than that, honestly. Like, I feel like I've seen like...
Do they have cars or like, something?
They do have cars.
What? That's ridiculous. No, that's stupid. Okay, I'd like...
It's kind of whack. I just like... Maybe it wasn't even the industrial idea. Like, I just like the idea of the bending mafia. I think that's hilarious.
I mean, okay, that is pretty funny, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they go, like, way too far with it. Like, it feels like... Because it would, like, make sense in this world to have, like, 7 years in the future. It's like, oh, okay, they do have cars now. Especially, like, considering the technology that you saw in the original series. But, like, eventually they get, like, do you want me to spoil this? Because, like, it's just, like, about, like, the technology that they used.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, they get, like, military planes and shit. And it's, it's like, what? No.
I like
they have, like, fucking, like, platinum mechas.
Oh, dude, that's... I like fantasy settings. And I like that element that it's, like, they use flying bisons and, like, hot air balloons. Not freaking. I don't want Avatar to turn to World War One. I want it to be my fantasy world, you know? Freaking Avatar.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think with that though, we can stop the Avatar talk and go into a little bit of drip check.
Oh yeah, drip check.
Well, let's go, dude. You're making it sound like it makes it sound like you're doing like the Sega thing. Drip check. wait. Let's say it at the same time, and it'll sound like it. Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Drip check. Press start.
Bing, bing, bing. Oh, God. Okay. So,
yeah.
The thing I was thinking about for Drip Check was I saw this picture from Kanye West during
his... Wait, before we get into Drip Check, let me explain Drip Check to listeners. Drip Check, me and Jordy rate the latest drip on a scale of 1 to 5 drip. But Jordy kind of broke that rating system when he gave Crocs a 0 out of 5 drip last time. So,
and like, am I wrong there?
What? You could have just given a 1 out of 5, man. You didn't have to break it, but you did.
I could not think of a situation
just,
where...
Just say 1 out of 5. Dude, just say 1 out of 5.
1 out of 5 drips. Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Okay, fine. Now all the fan edits and, like, spreadsheets will work. Thank you. And
Joey and Jordy are having a feud?
Joey invades the Jordy capital? Question mark?
But yeah, so basically, what I wanted to look out for this week's drip check was I saw this picture of Kanye West during his Yeezus tour, and I thought his outfit for it was super interesting.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna.
I'm not gonna say anything about it. Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna look up the picture right now. If you could stall for me, buddy, just do that.
Didn't even freaking prepare a freaking URL for me. What is this? What is this? What are you, a taxi driver in New Jersey? Hey, come on, man.
Hey, yo, hey, Kanye West, hey.
Take Jamie over there and get him. Okay, this is... Oh,
I think it looks fucking awesome.
Well, to be fair, this is before the Yeezy Crocs are around, so how can anyone look awesome before those
existed?
That's
true.
Yeah. First, fashion didn't exist, then boom, the Big Bang, a.k.a. Yeezy Crocs were released.
Okay, I will see if I can post it into
Le Chat,
and yeah, there it is. Okay. There we go. I think
what
it looks sick. So this was...
What the f- Holy sh- crap, he looks like Lilith from Neon Genesis Evangelion.
No, right?
How he breathe? Like, what the hell?
I can't remember who the mask was made by, but was it was it made by Margiela?
the Margiela
mask, bro.
Yeah, would it be funny though if like on the mask there were like the studs for like Lego bricks on it, so you could just like start like building like Lego sets off of it.
Yeah, I'm gonna put a Lego Batman on that Kanye.
Yeah. Oh my god. You know, honestly, like, I mean, I'm a fan of like the whole trench coat getup. I actually think that actually works really well with the Yeezy ones. Like, I like it has like that dark green, kind of like khaki shade to it that reminds me of like, I don't know, like a, you know, like an army soldier. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the colors and aesthetic and shape. And obviously, if we know Kanye for anything when it comes to fashion, he loves standing out. He loves making expressive statements. And that applies to his music as well. People love him for him taking really big artistic risks. And that's personally why, like, you know, something like Jesus is King is a terrible album. But, like, I'd rather listen to it to any, like, DJ Khaled album that maybe might have better music. But
yeah,
it's super sterile.
Wait, I just wanna...
person.
Yeah. To be fair, though, like, that's also kind of to his detriment, especially just, like, because, like, every album now is just, like, he stirs up a controversy beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, like, okay, dude, like, it was, like, for the first couple of times, it was, like, kind of cute, but then, like, it's just...
Yeah, it's bothersome, I will say. But his infectious person, like, this outfit to me, if anything, this reads very much as Kanye. Like, this is not in any way conflicting with what I would picture him wearing. My main concern really is actually just like, Christ, like how hot would it be again there? Like concerts are warm, my guy, with all those people, and he's up there singing, dancing. How are you gonna drink water in that thing? I mean, like,
just takes a bottle of Dasani and just pours it on the mask.
He just pours it through. Yeah.
just waterboards himself.
I swear, I've poured coffee through masks before. Through at school, I swear. It's like the dumbest mistake. But you like forget you're wearing a mask and then you like,
what?
I know I made a mistake, seriously. Because at school I have to like wear a mask all the time, right?
I guess it's kind of different for you since like I still don't go to school yet.
Yeah, it'd be different for you. Actually it's the case of me getting a lot worse in Toronto. So I'm not going back to
second
school.
Wave.
Pardon?
Damn.
Yeah.
No, nothing. I mean, honestly, like, actually, I'll send another, because he wore two or three outfits, I think.
Okay.
I'll send another one of them. But, like, these outfits, just, like, they, I feel like they're just, like, the, I sent the other one in the chat.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just, like, they're, like, the album of Yeezus in an outfit.
Yeah, that's.
Which I think is kind of sick.
Especially the second one, I'd say. Just, like, the little, mm-hmm. the little splash of red in the, those are the Yeezy 2s, I believe. Oh, God. Yeah, Yeezy 2 Blood Reds. I don't know why I know that.
Jesus, those tongues. Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. But it's like you can tell he's making that little splash of red is in reference to like the album cover, probably, because there's like the red square. Which, by the way, Yeezus' art cover art is awesome. Like, I like how it's like a photograph of the CD. And like, if you have the CD case, it's just completely clear with like the red square and the disc with like all the yeah. info etched on it. That's cool. But I definitely prefer the first one to the second one. This is just too dark, and like, this is just Kanye trying too hard, in my opinion, to like be like Death Grips or something, like try to like emulate that industrial hip hop that was like and drill that was like really popular at the time, which is still popular.
We did talk about it a bit last episode, I believe.
Yeah, we did. Last episode was the Yeezus episode. well, Christ, this is also becoming like the Kanye cast. What? I think
no, we talk about Kanye and Kid Cudi too much.
Yeah. Wait, I don't think we talked about Kanye. No, we talked about, I think we talked about Kid Cudi in the second episode, but not Kanye.
We talked about Kid Cudi in the first episode and the second episode.
Okay. Yeah. So in every episode we've talked about Kanye and Kid Cudi. Oh, right, because we reviewed his shoes, right, in the second
episode. Oh, yeah, that was the first ever drip check.
Oh, man, how young we were, Jordy, how young.
How time goes by.
Virgin eras, where we were so
Virgin podcasters.
Ayo, virgin check. Yeah, but I think, I don't know, do you have any more thoughts about these outfits before we give them a score on 1 to 5 drip?
Personally, like, I'm thinking about this in terms of, like, a concert outfit.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, Kanye is known for that, just, like, how crazy, just, like, some of, how, like, elaborate some of his concert fits are, and just, like, his overall, like, presentation of them. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, that would be so sick, just, like, him, like, you're, like, it goes dark, like, him walking out onto the stage with that shit, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm concert outfits are, like, always supposed to be, like, really stupid or, like, a weird getup. Like, wait, have you seen that photo of Michael Jackson at the White House with Ronald Reagan where he wore, like, that suit with, like, the Bullet magazines over his shoulders and it has, like, sequins all over it? Oh, yeah, okay, we'll review this as well. This is probably the last photo of Michael Jackson where he doesn't look like Voldemort.
I see.
Oh wait, no, sorry. He isn't. Sorry, yeah, he had the magazine. Sorry, he had the bullets on him when he did his Dangerous tour, but he still is wearing a really weird getup.
Okay.
This is probably also like the last time before he started getting really creepy around kids. So.
Yeah, he's a.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's so weird that he's next to like freaking Ronald Reagan. Like that is like Ronald Reagan's worst nightmare, to see someone being expressive and artistic, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, and I saw Michael Jackson and I was horrified. Yes.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good impression, not gonna lie. I'm trying to
really
dude, I can't do a Reagan impression. I've tried so hard. It's like I think I can do a good George W. Bush. My Obama impression's legendary.
Of course.
My fellow Americans.
the Yeezus outfit, it was pretty cool.
Malia was not really a fan of the first one, but Sasha really got me into the second one. I'm a big fan of the Yeezy 2s. Isn't that right, Joe?
Yeah, he's got a lot of drip.
Drip check.
And I wore the Yeezy 2s to this press conference.
Michelle, get in here. My favorite podcasts are doing an impression of me. It's amazing.
Game Grumps now.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
I mean, honestly, like, big points up to Michael Jackson. Like, I know he's a pedophile and stuff, but, like,
yeah.
Going up to Ronald Reagan with that fit, like, come on, that's a statement.
Yeah, it's actually the context for that meeting is actually that the reason Michael Jackson was there was not purely for Reagan to, like, be like, oh, look how cool I am, fellow Americans. See, that's how bad my Reagan impression is. But it was actually because Reagan asked for Michael Jackson to come because he wanted him to sign on MAD. Because this was the time when Reagan was really trying to appeal to, like, the conservative, like, Christian voter base in America. And that was, like, right when they tried to, like, that's when, like, the, basically he got, that was, like, when Christian groups started to, like, really adhere to, like, raising the drinking age and stuff. So Reagan got Michael Jackson there to sign on for the future MAD program. And he, like, Reagan needed that as much as possible because, like, Reagan wanted to keep up the persona that not only did he care about, like, families and Christian Americans, but that he was also anti-government. And in by sending in MAD, he's implementing under what Reagan would consider to be a decidedly government thing. So he needed yeah. someone like Reagan to, like, boost his cred. So it's actually kind of devilish that he's there. Or clever, I don't know. I hate Reagan, but that's how I characterize it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, man, I didn't know about any of that. God damn.
That's okay, man. As a Canadian, I'm obligated to learn more about American history than Americans.
Dude, that's fucked. I hate that shit. Like, I'm taking a fucking American studies class right now, and yeah. I mean, what are we even learning right now? We're learning about speed running through the Civil War. Actually, Reconstruction is very interesting.
Yeah, that's. I was gonna say that's. One of the most under-discussed parts of, like, there was, like, even though there were, like, lots of racism and stuff, there was a lot of progress made in the Reconstructionist era that was, like, later covered over in, like, the 1910s and 20s, like...
Actually, the thing is, it was, like, almost instantly, like, covered over, because, like, there were laws that were put in, like, previously Confederate states where, like, to just kind of basically simulate slavery in those states where...
Oh, really?
Black people needed to be employed by adult black people need to be employed by a white person for at least a year.
Oh, and they did the
otherwise.
Oh yeah, and did they? Oh yeah, you say thing.
No, you can go.
Oh yeah, I think that was like also around the time they also implemented like the thing for a black person to be able to vote. Their like grandparent had to have their grandparents would have had to be able to vote. So that basically meant like no one could vote. Because that means...
Yeah, no one at that point could vote.
Yeah, like, what the fudge? Like, what the fudge? Mm.
Even afterwards, like, there was still just, like, a lot of fucking tension.
Yeah. Yeah, undeniably. Yeah, that's interesting. So, you're doing Reconstructionism now. Are you gonna go back to, like... Are you going to go back in time, or are you just going to go to, like, the early 20th
century? We're going forward in time.
Okay.
Yeah, we've already learned about just, like, the foundation of the country and shit.
Did you talk about, indigenous groups in America extensively?
Oh, well, yeah, that was a huge part of it, and just, like, how much just, like, people like Andrew Jackson just, like, fucked them over and shit.
Yeah.
It was insane. And also the whole deal with, like, Georgia and, like, their... They're just manipulation and just like
oh yeah
them trying to take over native communities. Fucked.
Did you learn about the Seminole War?
The Seminole War.
Oh yeah,
I don't believe so.
Yeah, this is one of the interesting parts. There are like at the beginning of America, there were so like obviously in American history, America has been in a lot of wars, and there are like some famous ones that are famous for being kind of forgotten, like the Korean War. Like that's kind of famous for being like forgotten, mm-hmm. or to an extent like the first Gulf War or something. There are some truly forgotten wars in American history, like the Barbary Coast War. I bet you haven't even heard of those, right?
I have not.
Yeah. That's a side tangent. Actually, that's a really interesting war to talk about. But one of the biggest wars of like the expulsion of Native Americans in American history was the Seminoles. They inhabited all of the... half of like the peninsula of Florida, and so they were like given relative autonomy when it was ruled by Spain, but when it turned into like America, Jerry, okay, I'll give you a question. Guess how long America fought the Seminoles for Florida?
I don't know, like 2 years?
7 years.
Jesus.
Yeah. So it was an absurdly long war, and it has a really sad ending because it basically just ended with, I think there was one small reservation set up that in like around the Everglades, but it basically just ended with a lot of them being like sent on like the Trail of Tears and stuff. So,
oh my Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's a sad note.
So yeah, what would you rate these folks, Joey?
Oh god. Oh yeah, Chris, we got there from freaking Michael Jackson. Okay.
Yeah.
Alright. So I value expressivism and not, I guess, like the actual material itself, probably more than a sane person would. So I think I would give the first one, the first Kanye Lilith drip, a 3 drip out of 5. I would give the second Kanye one, I had 2 drip out of 5. I really do not like it. And I'd say the Michael Jackson drip, not gonna lie, makes a statement. It's Michael Jackson. That has its pros and cons. I'd give it. I feel bad in saying this, but I'd give it a 4 drip out of 5.
Damn. I mean, it is a statement. I don't think you can agree with that. Like, yeah. Yeah, honestly, I'd have to give the same things. Like,
really?
I think, like, from the perspective of just, like, actual fashion, I definitely understand what you're saying. But, like, I think the stuff with just the Kanye outfits, I think it's like, that is Yeezus. Like, that's just, like,
yeah.
Yeah. Just, like, seeing that on, like, a concert stage would just, like, blow my mind.
Yeah, I definitely... The one thing I'm a little worried about, when it comes to, like, concerts with, like, big artists, they very often will switch them out with, like, a double. Like, that is a thing they do a lot.
Oh, yeah, I know MF Doom did that a lot.
Oh, for Hannibal Buress.
Wait, what?
Wait, you haven't seen that clip? Yeah, Hannibal Buress one time went on stage with the MF Doom mask, and then
that's fucking sick.
Yeah, and then he was like rapping happy through a song, and then people started to notice how much worse it was, and then he like took off the mask and like ran away.
That's so good! Holy shit!
Yeah.
Oh my god, I love Hannibal Buress, dude.
Oh yeah, I love Hannibal Buress as well. He's a
classic.
Wait, have you seen him in the JZ music video, Moonlight?
No.
Yeah, the music. Have you listened to 444? I don't know if you have.
Honestly, not really. Is Umbrella on 444?
No.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I always thought it was on. It was on there. Okay.
I think that's Blueprint 3. I don't know. I'm not crazy.
Damn. I don't really listen to a lot of Jay-Z, so I've not.
Oh, dude, you gotta listen to 444 is probably. Actually, I think it's probably the album that got me into hip hop. I think it's amazing. Yeah. It's really it flies under a lot of people's radars just because it came out the same year as Damn, but arguably 444 is probably age better than Damn. That's kind of a hot take. But I don't know. That's what I
think heard. So.
But anyways, the music videos for the album were ridiculously high budget. And the most insane music video was for a song called Moonlight. The theme for the song is all about like black representation in arts. And the title Moonlight is in reference to the Oscars when, you know how like the whole thing with like La La Land, they like thought they...
Yeah.
Yeah, so even though Moonlight still won... Even though they won, they still lost because so much of the attention that would have gone to Moonlight just went to the La La Land cast and production.
Yeah, instead of like Moonlight won, it was like people thought La La Land won.
Yeah. Christ. I mean, La La Land and Moonlight are both great movies, but Moonlight's much better. I mean, like, I love La La Land.
Yeah.
Moonlight, it's Christ. But anyways, that's like the whole framing for this song. But for the music video, it's like 8 minutes long, even though the song's 2 minutes. They got the set to Friends, and they got, basically the whole concept was, in the music video, they're remaking Friends, but, with, like, sorry, they're not it like the plot of the music video is that executives trying to cash in on like black representation are remaking Friends, and so they got the entire set back for Friends, and they're shooting, they're just reshooting an episode with the exact same dialogue, but like they replaced like Ross is like the singer in the song. They got like Lakeith Stanfield. They got the guy who's from Get Out. They got Rod from Get Out. They got like Tessa Thompson. They got the girl from Tuca and Birdie. She also has the ads for Bumble.
She's not sure.
Yeah, she's like a very popular black comedian. But anyways, they were like remaking this episode of Friends, and then eventually the actor for Ross like walks off an actual episode of Friends, and then like starts singing in the moonlight in like a park. It's a really beautiful music video. But there's like a part where like they take like a 5-minute break of filming Friends, and Hannibal Buress there is like, "This is garbage, bro. I'm playing a parrot on a remake of like Alvin and the Chipmunks." So he like plays himself. It's really cool and really funny.
God, that's great.
Yeah. What was that? What the hell is that side? Oh my god, we're talking about fashion. I did it again. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's all good. Yeah. Without that, I think that's going to end this week's drip check.
Yeah.
Drip check.
Oh yeah. Oh, I just remembered something, Jordy.
Yeah.
We teased a segment last time.
Oh my god. Wait, how long have we been going for before we talk about this?
Oh yeah, we got an hour and 6 minutes. So
damn, really? Holy shit!
Yeah, I know. We talked a lot about Avatar. I didn't realize, and we also talked a lot about cereal at the beginning too. Seriously, we got like a solid like 20 minutes of us talking about that.
Yeah, geez.
Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. I guess we can go into that now.
Yeah, we can conclude with the hotly anticipated segment. Everyone's waiting for this. Cult check. Where me and Jordy rate cults on a scale of 1 to 5 cult. Cult check. I don't know whatever the points should be called.
1 to 5 indoctrination.
All right. So, what defines a cult can mean like a lot of things. A lot of people just think of like satanic cults or something like Scientology, where that's really based off of like setting up like a really core religion or something of the matter, like something like really, like people think of them as like a really rigid thing, like personality cults and whatnot. But today, I thought we could review a cult that kind of straddles the line of like what people would consider a cult, or as they call themselves, a quote unquote personal development firm.
Oh my god.
Yeah, okay, that sounds like a cult, am I right?
Yeah. That's like when people, when like someone in a pyramid scheme is like trying to like pitch a pyramid scheme to you. It's like, "Yeah, we're like the premier like coffee, marketing right? Like
yeah.
Like premium of like the CEO and it's like, yeah.
Yeah. We sell moods and experiences at this triangular business model.
Yeah, you know, like in exchange for money, we kind of sell you like, you know, just like stuff you can take with you, you know.
Yeah. All right. The name of the cult we're looking at is Landmark Worldwide.
Worldwide.
It's founded in San Francisco, the city of cults. I'm not even joking.
Hey, let's go.
I'm right. The reason I learned about this was because do you know the brand Lululemon?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, that's a Canadian brand. And that spawned a bunch of like offshoot companies trying to cash in on that athleisure thing. And another prominent combatant of that, which is like, they're all from Vancouver for some reason, is a company called Kit and Ace. And I'm wearing a Kit and Ace sweater right now. They make like stuff like Lululemon, like kind of like that athleisure, really soft, expensive, overpriced stuff. And one of the weird things Kit and Ace is all of its employees have to be in Landmark, right? Like that's really weird, eh?
Wait, what do you mean?
Like Landmark, it's like they operate basically, they don't consider themselves like a religion. It's all about like personal experiences and development. So you have to like So you like go to like one of their facilities, you get like, you spend like a week there getting like seminars, and then you learn, what are their freaking words here? They say there can be a big difference between what happens in someone's life and their interpretation. They create meaning in themselves because there is none in the world. They pursue a someday rather than satisfaction, like all this kind of stuff. And then basically the like you have to like meet with other people about it, or you like what the I don't you like basically everyone who has to be employed at Kitten Ace has to be part of this. And it's also at Panda Express they do that too, and Lululemon. Okay.
Express is a cult?
Very, very maybe. but the only reason people think of it as cult was there was, do you know France 3?
France 3? No, but I do see that there's a tab for it on the contents of the Wikipedia
page.
Yeah,
it's like BBC for France. They did like a documentary about it, which for my French speakers out there is called Voyage au Pays de Nouveau Guru, which is Journey to the Land of New Gurus. And they're like, they did it all with like hidden camera and stuff. And they talked to people who are former members and anti-cultists, and they all really got pissed at like what it does. And apparently now Landmark has left France because it's so people hate it there.
I actually saw that in the description for it.
Yeah. I don't know, Jordy, I feel like this is the kind of cult that would be, like, really easy to join, because it's, like, these are, like, the ones that really focus on branding off of, like, I don't know, like, more, like, atheistic stuff. Like, this appeals to, like, Lululemon, you know, urban atheists and stuff, liberals and whatnot. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely something, I actually think that's really interesting, because that's something that you usually don't associate with a lot of cults, because, like, a lot of... Like, I guess so. I feel like a lot of other, like, more well-known cults,
mm-hmm.
like, obviously, stuff like Waco, like, it's more based off of, like, a original religion.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of stuff is based off of stuff like faith and creating guilt out of that, so you're easier to control.
Yeah, like Nexium, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I don't know, there is this debate. We still don't really know. I mean, it probably could have, in a very valid way, made a lot of people's lives better. Like, that's the thing with, like, religion. It's, like, it's less about, like, you know, it's, like, the analogy of, like, if you're, like, sleeping in your house, and it, like, caught on fire, and you heard a verse that said, get out of your house, it's on fire, I'd be less interested in where the voice came from and, like, what people get out of it. Like, I think the debate about, like, religion on the internet is incredibly shallow. Like, I think there needs to be less of a focus on the inherent thing and, like, what people get out of it. And that being said, that's where most of the a lot of the troubles do come from it. Like, people interpreting really, really terrible stuff and people thinking that's the core of the religion when it was quite modern. But this is, like, this is basically just to me, Landmark is just capitalizing off of that notion of believing in that. So I don't really see, like this clearly capitalizes off of, like, people who are having their own existential problems here about what their meaning is in the world. But I do not think you need to be a part of something like Landmark to get that lesson. This clearly, like, any company that profiteers off of people like this is always not, they're never, this is not a church, this is not a mosque, this is not, like, this is a company trying to get money out of you, and they're going to do everything to keep you in there and try to convince you it's something that probably isn't. And I think, I don't know, I'm worried about people joining it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the Landmark Forum right now, and it's, like, some of the ideas of consideration when you're, like, looking at the course. And it's, like, yeah, this is so, like, exploitative to, like, people that are going through just, like, yeah, what are you saying? Just, like, depression and just, like, their place in everything. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. This is not a good man, it's, man, I, wow, we're it's like the ebb and flow of like depressing topics and like you and me just joking around is like it's really noticeable this time.
Yes, goodbye. Hey,
hey.
We're yeah. funny and also depressed. There you go.
Oh man, that's kind of hard. That's Gen Z and like one line, I'd say. God, I freaking hate r/teenagers. That's all it is. It's just people
being dude. Fine. Holy shit. Okay. Yeah. I know you can finish what you're going
to
say
first. No, I didn't really have much to say. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I have a history with that subreddit.
Really?
Okay. Well, yeah. So I think I joined, like, I'm no longer sub to it, but mm-hmm. I joined it, I believe, back in like, when would it have been? Sometime in 2019. I mean, surface level, like, it was very much my humor.
Yeah.
Like, it was very much like, oh, remember this stuff from when you were a kid? You're like, oh, I remember that. And I even posted a couple stuff to it.
Yeah.
But just, like, when you start, like, looking at all the people, like, faking just, like, illnesses and shit to just, like, get karma and stuff. And just, like...
It's an unhealthy...
Just, like, the... And, like, also just, like, a lot of the memes are fucking cringe.
Yeah.
It's
a really unhealthy place, I just think, because it's, like... People get, like, really aggressive. Like, I think teenagers themselves are, like, an aggressive group of person. Not... I'm a teenager. But, like, there's, like, a lot of emotions, and, like, there's a lot of suffering and pain. And, like, the way people direct them can be made a lot worse with something like r/teenagers. Convinced of them of a false narrative. Like, teachers are out to get them. And teachers, oh, they hate us. Oh, they don't know what they're doing. They're incompetent. It's like that same story. I'm sick of hearing it. And something like r/teenagers makes that narrative really feast on us teenagers really easily.
Yeah, it's an absolute just like huge circle jerk of just like yeah. teenage angst. Dude, yeah. The Discord is even worse.
There's a Discord. Like, oh god.
Yeah. I joined it for one night. And like it's crazy. Like there's like a fucking I can't remember what it was called. It was like a mental health like chat.
Oh no.
And people were like posting pictures of themselves like, "Oh, I thought I looked good today." And it's like, "Dude, no, you should not do that. That is fucking yeah. that will be so much worse in the long run."
Yeah. There's also, yeah. It also like the also part of like the problem with like Reddit. It's also pretty male dominated, and there's also like a lot of like misogyny that like develops off of like r/teenagers yeah. just like oh, blaming girls because, like, oh, they don't want to, like, they never, like, they're always fed this, like, narrative that it's, like, girls are confusing, they don't know how to control their own emotions, and that, like, guys are always the nice one, and, like, it's the world that's out to get them. When in reality, it's always individualistic and contextual problems that yield conflicts like that, and something like r/teenagers just makes that way, like, just, I mean, it teaches the wrong lesson.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how many, like, memes I've seen from just, like, talking about, like, just, like, men versus, like boys versus girls shit.
Yeah.
Because, like, especially a lot of it just, like, tackles shit, just, like, like, the difference in, like, talking about mental health with, like, boys and girls. But, like, to be honest, I think that's a pretty important topic.
Because,
like, I feel like, like that is like kind of an important issue with just like teenage boys just like not being able to like being perceived to oh god, how do I word this?
To be tough, to put up like a
yeah, just like putting up a facade all the time. And I think that's very understandable. Mm-hmm. Like but to be honest, I feel like that's something that's experienced by like everyone.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's the nice guys syndrome. It really bothers me. That's, like, a lot of, like, what the internet is. And I... God, I'm so sick of, like, the demonizing feminists as stupid and irrational. That also really bothers me. And, like, also portraying, like... I don't know. I'm consistently just... Reddit is angsty. It's just teenager angst. I'm gonna say it. I see it everywhere. It even like r/PC Masteries, which is probably the one I'm Most part of God. Yeah, that's so douchey, just in the title, PC Master Race. Like,
yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Isn't, like, the symbol for it, like, a dude with a huge cock?
Oh, no. No, that's actually, that's funny. So, the funny, the context for that logo, sorry, for that icon, is, Yahtzee Croshaw, he's a game critic, and, he's, I love him as a game critic, but he was making fun of, like, how annoying PC gamers are. And in his Witcher 3 review, he, like, made fun of how, like, irrational and stupid PC gamers were, while at the same time just, like, discussing how, like, you really should play, like, Witcher 3 on PC just because it's, like, you get the ability to, like, mod it and stuff. But he was, like, making fun of, like, how, like, douchey they seem to act. But, like, legitimately, PC Master Race did not get the joke, and they thought they, like, this was some excuse for them to spread their wings. So now you have this, like, circle jerk of, like, people showing off their expensive computers and stuff on, like, a subreddit, and it's douchey.
I pretty much only use Reddit for just information now, and I mean, like, that sounds weird because, like, it's not like news info and shit, it's just like I want to, like, learn what's new about a game.
Yeah, I sometimes don't learn from memes, but yeah, I'm starting to get a little. I don't know. I'm liking Instagram memes a lot more now.
Dude, they're Instagram so memes.
they're all stolen and stuff, but, like, I don't care. They're really funny.
Yeah, dude. Actually, like, before we talk about this positive note,
yeah,
I've seen while I was still subscribed to r/memes, I saw so many fucking posts about, like, how much they were stealing memes from Reddit. And now that I'm just, like, an Instagram user, I'm just like, yeah, but these are funnier.
Yeah. Yeah, I think just because, like, there's so many more videos on, like, Instagram, like, they can't, like, it's mostly just, like, pictures on Reddit, but with, like, frickin' only Instagram is a place where you could get, like, the "you ain't from Michigan if you never done this before" meme. Why am I at a hospital?
Why am I at a hospital? You ain't from Michigan if you never done this before.
And I love how it's the song. Wait, have I shown you the video where it's, like, the guy on, like, the truck on the highway, and he's, like, in the coffin, and then he starts dancing on the moving truck?
Yeah,
it's that song, which I found really funny.
Also, like, oh my god, fucking the Lamar and Franklin meme has been fucking me up.
Yeah, I love the 37 Lamars. Can a low come up in your crib? Oh, man.
Damn it.
God damn
it. Also, theirs is just so much more just, like, I know I'm going to sound like a little random person here, but it's like, yeah, just like, random can be good sometimes in humor, like, especially when it's done well, and it's like, it's, I don't know.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I agree.
But yeah, I think with that, we can end both Cult Check and the podcast.
Well, wait, we have to give Landmark a score of 1 to 5 Cult. What do you give it, Jordy?
I'm wondering, so,
yeah,
by 1 to 5 Cult, is 1, like, one, they won't affect a lot of people, and 5 is, like, they'll affect a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, I don't know how to rate this, because it's, like, I don't want to, like, because if we give...
Yeah, I don't want to say, like, this join is a good cult.
Yeah, I don't want to join a cult. I think that's the whole joke, is that, like, no one reviews cults, so we're, like...
Yeah.
Okay, how about we view... Say we were terrible people, and we wanted to, like, start a cult, and we were young entrepreneurs trying to, like, learn from existing cults how to start the worst and most malicious cult. So we should rate it on a 1 to 5 at how good it is at being bad. So if, I mean, from that perspective, I give it a 4. Like, actually, no, I give it a 3 because it's really good at shedding the persona that it has to be tied to, like, some existing religion, and it clings to atheists really well. But at the same time, it got caught by France 3, and now people don't like it. So clearly they messed up somehow, and they didn't really infect people.
This is so awful, Joey. This is so bad.
Oh. Jordy, what's your score?
I have to agree with you. Like, it's definitely, it's shattering the stigma. And I think, like, that's definitely, like, one aspect of, like, there hasn't really, Actually, yeah, no, I guess there really hasn't been, like, a super, like, a big cult that's, like, really targeted, that's really targeted, like, millennials and shit. Yeah.
So, I don't know, I mean, yeah, I mean.
So like, join this one.
Yeah, guys, come on, join Landmark, woot woot, we totally weren't sponsored, but, I mean, Landmark, send us 3 shirts and coffee mugs, I'll take it.
See, I wonder, like. The thing is, like, I could just go out onto the street and wear that shirt, and no one would bat an eye.
Yeah. Well, no, if you...
They just think it's like, oh, that's just, like, some startup or something.
Well, yeah, no, dude, you're in San Francisco. That's the home of Landmark. So you'd probably run into, like, a couple of people that are in Landmark.
Hey, the homie!
And someone's gonna be like, hey, can a loc come up in your crib?
God damn it. But yeah, I think with that we can end cult check and the podcast.
Wait, Jordy, do you have any departing wisdom for the?
Oh, of course, of course. Man, fuck you. I'll see you at work.
Sorry. Oh God. God, what do I even say to that? I guess frickin' Simeon wants to see you at work. Oh no, Chop needs to be fed at least once a day. That's my wisdom.
God, fucking, why are GTA copypastas so funny?
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's like fucking Big Smoke and now this.
Oh yeah, God, I forgot about Big Smoke. All right.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right, yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.